Well, it's been quite a week. We've been starting to get used to lockdown number two and all of the difficulties and restrictions that it brings. Then suddenly this week, we get the news that one of the vaccines that has been in development has come through. In early results, it does show that it provides maybe 90% protection against COVID-19. And in response to this welcome news, there was what could only be described as euphoria. The stock market went through the roof. People were filled with joy. Some people were so excited they were almost doing somersaults. Science will save us from this dreaded disease. There is a light at the end of the tunnel, and people have rediscovered hope. And this hope will help us to endure during the difficult days that lie ahead. It will allow us to smile through the tears. It's exactly the news that people needed to hear. You see, all of us can put up with hard times for a limited period. What we struggle with is hard times which don't seem to have any end. And when we're in that situation, we just lose heart and really struggle. But now we can see that there is a way forward. We can look forward to days that are better than today, to a time when life will go back to how it used to be. So it is no surprise that people are filled with joy and excitement, and they're very optimistic about the future. As Christians living in 2020, we are people who have even more reason to celebrate. Not only will we benefit from this vaccine once it becomes available, we have the answer to a problem which is even bigger than COVID-19. A problem which goes beyond the power of even the most clever research group. But it's a problem that has already been solved for us. When Jesus died on the cross and rose again, the way was cleared for our biggest problem, which is our broken relationship with God, to be sorted out. And when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, then the filthy mess of our sin was washed away, and we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. Which means that our biggest problem is sorted out. We are people who have been forgiven by the true and living God. And this is the best news ever. Far better news than a new vaccine. Yet at the same time, this good news is a message that the people around us just don't seem to want to hear. When we try and share it with them, then their attitude is a bit like what you might encounter in some people when someone who's living in a road gets a new car or they make some home improvements that makes their place look really good. And in response to this, the neighbours, they just want to dent the car and damage the home improvements because these new things that these people have, it makes them feel that they're being left behind. And they don't want these people who have made the improvements to get ideas above their station. So they try and drag them down to the same level. And this attitude, it comes from the human condition that rejects God and wants to rebel against him. And because most people think this way, it means that Christians usually have a very rough time. Christians are often rejected. They're laughed at and they're ignored and just pushed to the margins. And we've seen some of that in the way that the government have been talking to churches during this pandemic. They've listened to our concerns, but we've just been pushed to the side because there's so few of us and we're not considered particularly important. At times, being a Christian can really, really be hard work. And we sometimes get so focused upon our immediate challenges that we lose sight of the bigger picture. We need to remember that we do have hope. More hope than anyone else in this world has, because Jesus has won the victory and one day he will return. And we see this hope being explained to the disciples in our passage today in John 16, verses 16 to 33. Now, these are interesting words because they are the last recorded words of teaching that Jesus shares with his disciples. When we move into John chapter 17, what we have there is the high priestly prayer. And Jesus is allowing his disciples to overhear this prayer. And that's different to the direct teaching that he's given them here at the end of John 16. As soon as we move into John 18, we see Jesus is being arrested. So this is the final bit of direct instruction that he gives to his disciples before he goes to the cross. And because it's the end of a block of teaching material, we see that our Lord is doing what every good teacher does and goes over things again. Which means that there's quite a bit of repetition in this passage. We see themes and thoughts which have already been mentioned and explained being repeated so that the disciples have every opportunity to learn. Yet despite this, the disciples still seem to be quite confused and they're doing the wrong thing. Instead of asking Jesus directly to explain it once again, they're just whispering to one another, sort of saying to each other, "Do you understand what he's going on about?" You could just see them in a little crowd and the ones at the front being silent and then the ones at the back sort of nudging each other and whispering in each other's ears. Children do this at school all the time when they don't understand the teacher. And I'm pretty certain it happens in churches as well, when they don't understand the preacher as well. When we hear something that's unfamiliar or hard to understand, we naturally turn to the person sitting next to us to ask them to explain it, rather than going directly to the one who is teaching. So that's what the disciples are doing. They're still confused. They're still getting it wrong. So Jesus has another crack at explaining it to them. And he does it by telling them a little parable, which is well known. A parable that is full of symbolic meaning. A parable about the birth of a child. Now, for the mother, the period of labor may feel like an absolute eternity. But really, it is only measured in hours. And through this incredibly challenging and difficult time, it's the thought of the new baby that keeps her going. And it helps her to smile through the tears. And then when the child arrives, the struggle is forgotten because of the joy of being able to hold that new life. This parable explains what the disciples are about to go through. And it is a parable which is easy for them to understand because it's rich in Old Testament imagery, drawing from several places, but especially Isaiah chapter 26. And maybe this afternoon, just look at Isaiah 26 and compare the second half of that chapter with this parable, and you can see how they do link together. These are the Bible passages which the disciples would have grown up learning. This image of being a woman in labor is often used in the Old Testament to describe people going through a period of God's judgment. And some of the phrases that we see in the Greek that this was originally written in clearly link to the Old Testament way of talking about what God is going to do in the future, about eschatology. And after listening to this parable, the disciples do seem to get it. They seem to understand that they're going to go through a period of terrible anguish while all around them the world is having a party. It's rejoicing. But suddenly, everything's going to be turned around. Their grief will turn to joy. Jesus is about to do something really big and important. Something that will be a challenge to go through. It will be hard and difficult for them. But once it's over, they will be much better off. And when we think about what's going to happen and what we know, we recognize that the disciples will be much better off because they would see firsthand Jesus going to the cross and then they would experience him on that Easter Sunday as he comes out the tomb and those resurrection times of teaching. They will finally get it about the full gospel and what Jesus has really come to do. And then on the day of Pentecost, they will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, God's presence with them everywhere they go. And they have that assurance that whenever they pray in Jesus' name, which is to pray prayers that are in line with the Lord's will, prayers that will build up the kingdom, then God the Father will hear them and answer them because he loves all those who love his Son. They will enjoy and experience that restored relationship with God that every human being is made for. The Lord Jesus Christ will be the one who wins. He will have the victory and he will overcome the world. As we ponder this passage, we have the great advantage of knowing exactly what happens next. We know that Jesus was arrested and executed on false charges. We know that the disciples scattered and the religious leaders enjoyed a few hours of victory. But the first Easter Sunday was about to arrive, and then everything changed. And that change, when Jesus walked out the tomb, certainly wiped the smile off the faces of those religious leaders, because God the Father vindicated the Son and said that he was righteous and not guilty. And for us today, what Jesus shares with these disciples to prepare them for those very difficult few days which they were about to go through informs the attitude that we need to have for the days that we are going through today. Today we are living in what the Bible calls the end times. Maybe we are even at the end of the end times, when we see that the world will get very dark and evil and will reject God, and true faith will be hard to find on the earth. When this happens, we're getting close to the time that the Lord Jesus Christ will return. And as we look at our where we live, by the people who surround us, by the culture, the society and the system that we are a part of, these people around us, they certainly act as if God does not exist. We are surrounded by people who are certainly very happy that the Lord Jesus Christ is not here on earth. Most of them deny that he has been given all authority and power. Most of them think that he's just a figment of people's imagination. But the truth is, Jesus is on the throne. He is in charge. And people are rejecting his rule and rebelling against him. And while he is in heaven, they think that they're getting away with it. So consequently, those people who are true believers are laughed at, they're ignored, and they're considered weak and foolish. Then in addition to these pressures that come in from the world around us, we have that ongoing battle with sin and the sadness of living in a world that is filled with and polluted by sin. We are the victims of crime. Those that we love die. We go through genuine pain and real hardship. The Christian walk can be hard going and very tough. None of us enjoys going through hardship. None of us likes being misunderstood, ignored, and just pushed to the side as if we were completely irrelevant. But in among this sadness, we have every reason to smile. Just like the disciples, we have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. He helps us to understand God's word. He works in us to make us more and more like Jesus. He equips us to serve, and he guides us in the way that we should go. Just like the disciples on Easter Sunday, we know the end of the story. We know that Jesus has rose again, and we know that one day he will return. And because we are people who have put our faith in Jesus and we love him, we have confidence to go to our Heavenly Father in prayer, and we know that our prayers will be heard and they will be answered. Now, we're not talking about self-centered prayers, about having a new car or a new house or your team winning the league this year, but rather the prayers that build up the kingdom, prayers that are about God's name being glorified, prayers that are about our own spiritual development so that we become more like Jesus. These are the prayers which are being prayed in Jesus' name, and our Heavenly Father will hear them and he will answer them. So when we put all of these rich blessings together, we have so many reasons to have genuine hope. No matter what happens, no matter how hard life gets, whatever trouble or persecution comes our way, or just dealing with the hardship of life, we can lift up our heads and we can smile through our tears because we know that one day Jesus will return. One day every knee will bow before him and every tongue will confess that he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. One day we will see him face to face, and all of the hardship that we have endured will be worth it. On that day, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, when the new heavens and the new earth arrive, our Savior will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Therefore, we need to hold on, and we need to keep on going. And we need to make sure that we take advantage of the gifts that we have been given to help us during this time. We need to be sensitive to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. In our own life, we need to be praying that the Holy Spirit would lead us in a way that makes us more and more like Jesus. We need to be seeking to build our relationship with God through prayer and Bible study and serving him as he gives us the ability. We need to prayerfully be studying the scriptures so that our faith is built up. And the more you study the scriptures and understand them, the more you start to see this world as it really is. As God's word shapes your mind and understanding, you adopt a Christian worldview, and you almost see this world through God's eyes, and you feel the need for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ more and more. Our world is sick, it's tired, it's worn out, and it's filled with people who do not know their right hand from their left. They think themselves so clever, but really, they haven't got a clue. Pray that the Lord will show to them the same mercy and grace that he has shown us. And finally, we need to be people who are patient. The Lord has promised that one day he will return, and our Lord always keeps his word. So no matter what trouble we will face from this world, we can have confidence that our Lord has overcome the world. So our attitude should be one of perseverance and patience. The sort of perseverance and patience that someone who is a wildlife photographer shows. So just imagine someone is up in the Scottish Highlands and they want to get that perfect shot. So they go out and they go hiking up the mountains. The weather is bad. It's cold. It's steep. It's potentially dangerous. And the midges are out. But they keep on going. And then they get to that place where they want to be and they set their cameras up and they have to patiently wait. Wait as they're being nibbled. Wait as their fingers are getting numb, as it's getting difficult. But then finally that golden eagle arrives and perches on the rock and snap, they get the perfect photograph. And they can go home, they can get it developed, they can have it hung up on their wall. And every time they look at that photograph, they'll smile and say to themselves, it was worth all the hardship. It was worth all the trouble. Likewise, as Christians, right now, we are the people who have to show patience and perseverance. It is difficult. It is hard. But when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, it will all be worth it. So today, as we go through hardship, smile through the tears, because our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ will return, and he has overcome the world. Amen.